I tell all coaches, when you take over a program, don't sacrifice year two for year one.
On today's episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast, we are welcoming back Glenn Ferrello, the head coach at Paul VI High School. We had such a great conversation the first time around that we had to split it into two parts. In part two, we continue diving into Coach Ferrello's experiences, insights, and lessons from building one of the most consistent programs in the country. So please welcome back to the podcast, Coach Glenn Ferrello. My question would be, like, how do you vet that out prior to them coming? Because nowadays, especially whether you're in high school, obviously it could be relevant. Some high schools obviously aren't able to recruit. But, like, even in college now, you have the whole transfer portal, that whole landscape. Right. How do you vet out a kid before he comes in to make sure he's not going to be that cancer?
Yeah, no, it's very difficult for sure. I start out always with a specific name, and it's Morello Vest. He's been with me for 16 years now. He knows. He just is amazing, his talent evaluation as far as kids, but his ability to figure out which families would fit who we are and what we're all about. So just, I love him. He's done an amazing job. When we first started out, Kenny Johnson was with me, right? Kenny's now an assistant at Indiana. Kenny was with me at Roosevelt and then at PVI. Doug Martin, Morello Vest. I have some just wonderful coaches that really understand. My whole coaching staff, when we do get a chance to get to know families, we really try to understand who we're talking to, what their objectives are. I love to hear, hey, what are you trying to get out of this? And then I go back to the players and the parents that are currently in the program. They know, you know, it's a simple conversation with some families. Hey, your son's here with us right now. You know what we're all about. What do you think of this family? What do you think of this father, this mother, how they conduct themselves, how they act? Would they want to be one of us? Would they be patient? Would they be okay not having the limelight every single night? And I think so getting that feel from our players, our families that are already been part of us, getting feedback from everybody, trying to figure that out is difficult. And then once, if it doesn't work, if someone wants to leave and I always say, we're not on this earth long enough. Go find your happiness. And I'll help you find somewhere, a new place. And I will, hey, just, it didn't work out with us maybe because just the fit, and I'm not mad at anybody. Like it's not just one way to do this. And so I want everyone to find their way. And one year when I was at, this goes back a ways, but we had a camp session. I turned to my camp director, Rocky Parrish. I said, hey, Rocky, what do you notice about all four of our camp counselors out there? He looked at them all. These are all college kids. And I said, all four of them transferred out of here. And yet they still come back home and still spend time with us because they still appreciate, and they're still part of our family. And they found their way. They're found their own way. So I think it's just really important to understand it's not dramatic, but we are trying to find what's best for every kid. And it doesn't mean it's always us and how we do things.
Yeah. No, I love it. You guys exemplify the phrase logo over ego.
Yeah.
Whatever the Paul VI logo is, that's it. That's it's about that. Not anything. There it is, man. Logo over ego. But it's funny, we talked about it being the phrase, it's not about you. Yeah. When you make it about other people, that's how it comes back to you. So it can, it's about you when you approach it the right way, because it's nice when it's about you because it comes from someone else. Yeah. And that's like the sharing the ball thing. If it's not about you, it will be about you if you're about giving it away. Then it comes back to you, and that's the best way for it to be about you, because someone else made it about you themselves and you didn't make it about you yourself.
Yeah. We actually have one of our mottos is share the game. And David Cox, who was an assistant at Rutgers at the time, he's at Villanova now. He shared that with me many years ago. And I said, man, I like that. I just like how that it's just not sharing the ball. And we've always been a team that really shares the ball, right? Everyone gets involved and you know, the ball pops and everyone gets a chance to be like, just there's an offensive rhythm, how we play. But I wanted it to be bigger than that. I want us to share the game. I want us to share the experience. I want us to share it with our families. It's all like everybody in, and we're not keeping people at arm's length. We want our sixth man, which is our student section. I want our Paul VI community to feel part of what we're doing. So we want to share the game. We go on trips. We want to embrace the local community and thank everyone for coming to the events and get our guys involved in clinics. And we do Special Olympics clinics that we really believe in. And we want to share the game and the joy of what we do. And that's basketball. That's it. Basketball at its best is when we all understand like it's the ultimate team sport. And that also fosters that it's not about me, right? It's about all of us. Having a shared experience together. And that's, again, I go back to, I know it sounds cheesy and we talk about, do we talk about this too much? I say, no, I don't think we talk about it enough. I think we have to keep at it every day to remind our guys, this is who we're trying to be.
No doubt. Tell you what, there's nothing wrong feeling cheesy when you win.
Yeah.
So we don't, none of us mind being cheesy when that happens. So.
That's right. But, that's right. And you know, this coach, I'm sure it's like there are games where we will find a way to win and we'll say that's a culture win. We found a way to win because we didn't have our best and things weren't going our way necessarily, but yet we found a way. And that foundation that we've laid and all these little things that we've done that add up into it matter. And so we've had some culture wins for sure this past year where we like, man, how'd that happen? How do we find a way?
Right.
And the kid, and when the kids identify it, when the kids see it and they feel it, that's when you feel really good as a coaching staff.
No doubt. No,
no question.
It becomes theirs at that point. That's what's nice about it. It's you. That's the moments where you go from coach led to player led. And when you're player led, watch out because whatever those guys make important, it's going down. It's going to happen.
And that's one thing I got to say too, is I know I'm preaching to the choir, and especially everything the last 30 minutes that we have talked on is everything that I'm wrapped up into what I'm going to say, but you could have some of the best players, you could have some of the best X's and O's, but if you don't have the culture to it, I'm a firm believer that locker room is the pro or con. It is the pivotal point for a team. Because if there's one person who's in a locker room going around saying, coach isn't doing this and he's not letting me do this, as much as you might not think they listen to that kid, maybe they don't, but it's in their ear. And when you hear something so consistently over and over again, negatively, it will ultimately affect in some way, whether it's big or small. Like, it doesn't matter. It will come out eventually. So having that one negative piece will completely destroy a whole locker room, or could, I should say. So the culture portion of it is so pivotal.
Yeah. And that's not, and by the way, that's not just about 14 to 18 year olds, right? That's any organization. That's any
successful
organization. It could be in education. It could be business. There's a human element to all of this, right? And then when there is like some negative energy somewhere, it's going to be impact. It's going to impact all of us. I completely agree with you. The more that we can, even, and how about this too, even with that kid that is maybe not buying in or is not mentally where he needs to be, how do we win that kid over? How do we get him back on track? How do we save him from himself? Mm-hmm. Right. Instead of just giving up on it. Like, the kid's just acting like this or this, or maybe in an organization, someone's just acting or saying this. Yeah, we can win that kid over. Maybe he's just going through something. Yeah. How do we reach that kid? How do we try to reach that? Like, we're not going to give up. We're going to be relentless in our pursuit to try to get everyone back on track of where they need to be so that all of us can be there. And I think those redemption stories are sometimes the most fun things that you see, and how, because kids, one thing that coaches talked about earlier about how brilliant they are, they're also very resilient, but they also believe in each other. They believe in the second and third chances. They want to see, they understand, they go through it themselves. Hey, I've been through some tough stuff as a 14, 18-year-old. I made some mistakes. Thank goodness someone gave me a chance to step up. So they're willing to do that for their teammates, but they're not going to let their teammate be fraudulent as they do it.
And no doubt.
I think that's part of the solution too.
Yeah, no, I love it, man. Great stuff.
Coach, one thing I want to do is, and I feel like we jumped ahead showing, not necessarily ahead, but like we have talked on all of the success that you have had so far in your career. The one thing I want to touch on at some point, and even now, is how did you get to that point? That first year as a head coach, was this something that was already set when you were an assistant and then you just prolonged it, kept it going? Was this something that your first year as a head coach, did you get in? And if so, if you did change things, how did you implement this new culture? And how did those, like that first year or two look?
So Roosevelt, when I first was there at Roosevelt, in the 5 years as an assistant coach, I thought we were moving in a really good direction. And then the story I tell is in my school, that they might not have had the grades and they might not have been where they needed to academically. So maybe the best thing I did was get in the classroom with my players. I had three outstanding players, Delonte Holland, Delonte West, and Eddie Basden. Mm. And those three kids all became pros, right? Two in the NBA. And we worked really hard to get them to where they needed to be, the student athletes they needed to be. And so when you start with those three, and then I was able to build around that, we were able to jump up pretty quickly in the DMV landscape from just because from a basketball standpoint, those three could really play.
And, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we had a lot of fun with that group, and we started with that, with those guys, and moving in the right direction. And I thought that's, and we started, I remember the first time as I stepped on the court at Roosevelt with my team, I just said, we're going to Cole Fieldhouse. And that's where Maryland State championship playoffs were. Hadn't had a chance to win a championship yet, and said, we're going to Cole. And that's the goal. And that's what we're going to work towards. And year three, we made it to the championship game. Year four, we won it. And it was a lot of fun to watch that trajectory happen. But you had to be crazy enough to believe it. And you had to put it out in front of them. This is what we're doing. This is the expectation. This is what we're going. And this is going to be really hard. And that was a lot of fun to see our program rise up the way we did. And I was very prideful too, that in those 9 years, we sent more kids to college when I was at Rosalita Public School than anyone in the DMV, even all the private schools. And we were really committed and dedicated to getting kids to the college level. And that was a lot of fun. My years there, my players there, they really bought into each other and they really bought in. And coach, you'll appreciate this. I couldn't coach that way these days.
I thought you were about to say that.
We would just have toughest practices and they were just so determined to be great. And that was a lot of fun. So I really enjoyed those guys. When I get a chance to see my guys from Roosevelt and we get to reminisce about those days, that's where it all started. And that was a lot of fun to see that. And then so when I got to PVI, a little bit different model. We hadn't had the success that we've had over the years up until then as a school, but Levi Franklin was here before me and he did an amazing job of setting the foundation. And so when I was able to take over, what I learned from that experience, when I had my opportunity, Levi went on to the college level as an assistant coach. And when I came in, I was really excited and I'd already had these great relationships with my players and connections. And that first year was really difficult because I was the new guy. And there was a lot of people that didn't like the fact that I was the new guy. And there was a lot of people that didn't like the way I did things. And they say, this is different from how things were done. And so I tell all coaches, when you take over a program, don't sacrifice year two for year one. And you need to make sure that when you get into year two, that things are in place. Because if you're just chasing year one, you're going to have to repeat it year two and then repeat it year three. And there's going to be some people that are going to be disappointed, unfortunately, because they just don't like how you do things in comparison to how things were done before, because maybe it was good for them. So I thought that was a really a big learning piece for me early on at PVI. But even when I got to PVI, I was like, we're going after DeMath and Gonzaga. And that's who it's either we're going to get there or we're not. I'll be flamed out in 3 years and no one will ever have heard of some crazy guy that thought that maybe he could actually build a program in Fairfax, Virginia at the time. We're now in Chantilly. But I had people that believed in, like, along with me. They wanted to believe. Let's go along for this ride. Let's dream. And I was telling our players that we've had players that you mentioned. Like, a lot of guys go to college, guys playing not just the NBA, but professionally all over the place. And a lot of them, no one would have predicted that they get there. But I would say, if you're going to dream big, you got to work big. But don't stop dreaming. I don't want to live in this reality world. Our group this year, we're 18-2. No one thought we would be, except us. We dream. We're willing to go and put that work in. So I think, going back on it, like looking back on it, it was a lot of hard work with a lot of amazing assistant coaches that put a lot of time into developing these players. And then the belief of the players, right? Like, they just had to have blind faith that, hey, these crazy coaches, they can get us there. And it's been a fun journey. We had a group of, Eric Green was our first big time player. Eric has been playing pro ball for a long time, played in the NBA, just got retired at Virginia Tech, led the country in scoring his senior year at Tech. And so Eric was our first guy, and I love EG, and he's been amazing. He believed in us, but no one else did, helped us win our first state championship in 2009. And so I just look back at those guys that just had no reason to believe and just came in and listened to us and bought into what we were doing and helped us establish. Then we had five guys that started 90 games together. Tillman Dunbar, who went to Navy, it was just amazing. Patrick Holloway, who ended up at George Mason. Owen Johnson, who ended up at Fairfield. Stan Robinson, who was at Indiana and Rhode Island. And then Jamal Robinson, who was at Hofstra. Those five guys started 90 games together. And they were amazing. When they started out, I'll never forget, we're playing against a league opponent when they're freshmen and sophomores. And we're up 20. We're surprising people early on. And they called timeout. And I just heard their coach in a quiet gym just, they're freshmen and sophomores. You're losing. Freshman sophomores. And I just smiled at my guys going, I think we're in their heads. So that group arrived, and when they were juniors and seniors, they went 35-3, finished sixth in the country, and went 21-0 in the WCSC, which it had never done before. And we won 10 games that year. This is how you just have to have some good luck to get building the program. We had 10 games that year. We went 10-0 and games decided in the last 30 seconds of the game. And it was just a special, magical year. And that just, it blew up from there. It just, okay, now it's on. Let's go. That group will be really, will always be special. And we talk about them all the time because we weren't fully loaded. We weren't the most talented team in our league or in the country, but that team just kept finding ways. And as I told my players, because I tell the stories about all our former teams, this team reminds me a little bit about that team. And that 10-0 in the last 30 seconds, maybe eight of them is we had 10-point leads and we blew them because we just did a bunch of but we'd find a way at the end. We just kept fighting. I hope that explains a little bit about like how the journey to here got here. But we had a lot of, had to have some things go our way, had to have some players believe in us that were big time players that came in with an edge and had a chip on their shoulder. Aaron Thompson, I want to talk about this because I think it's important when you got to, I really learned a lot. We had this great run. And then we're now on the national landscape. And we had 2 years where we won 20 games. We still had solid years, 20 and 14 and 20 and 15. Had some talented teams for sure and competed. But we just weren't where we wanted to be with our culture. And Aaron Thompson was a freshman on our last championship team. And when he was a senior, he demanded of everybody. And he got the next wave of guys to understand this is how we do things at PVI. And it's not just about winning. It's not just about using our culture. It's like, this is what you have to do. And he helped develop Brandon Slater, who was a junior at the time, who went to Villanova, he's playing D League now. Anthony Harris, who ended up going to North Carolina, unfortunately had some ACL injuries. Jeremy Roach was a freshman. And so he just helped develop all these guys behind him to say, this is how we do things. So Aaron went on to Butler, was a 4-year starter there. Butler was a great point guard there, now an assistant coach at GW. Yep. Aaron, I talk about it all the time about how important he was to making sure that he bridged the gap to making sure guys understood what PVI basketball is all about. And you need to have guys like that to come back, talk you through, and be that champion for what they've gone through. And then point guards at PVI have always, we demand a lot of. So he embodied that. So as we talk about our past and how do we get here, I always have to talk about Aaron.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, every now and then your culture needs a reset. And that almost sounds like what he did. He almost get the button at the top of our computer screens, the refresh thing. Like you needed he just gave you a refresh. And sometimes, you know, the best programs have their identity is so clear, but sometimes you can be a victim either of your own success or players come and go. And every now and then you just need to wipe the fog off the mirror and get a clear view of who you are again. And it sounds like Aaron grabbed that cloth.
Yeah.
The mirror got a little bit foggy and he just wiped it down and all of a sudden, okay, this is who we are and it's clear. And when your identity is clear like that as a program, man, it just sets the table for so much success. What I love about everything you said, and I hope, again, high school coaches listening to this or aspiring head coaches that maybe want to be a high school coach especially, you can still run your high school program like a Division I outfit. And that's what I love about everything you said is like you're preparing players for where they want to go before they get there by how you do things day to day. And by doing things in a Division I or college fashion, I don't mean to oversell Division I, not the 2 and 3 in NAIA. I mean, for whatever next level after high school, you're getting those guys ready before it's time. So that it doesn't feel like the shock treatment of the first time you get on the freeway after your driver's license, like you're preparing them before they get there. Everything you said has just been so good, man.
Nah, I appreciate that, Coach. One thing about that too, is we talk to the kids, even as we recruit them to come in as freshmen, we start talking about college right away. We want the carrot to be college. I don't want anyone to your goals and dreams. We always ask about goals and dreams. What are your goals and dreams? And I don't want anyone's goals and dreams to be play for Glenn Ferrello. That's too short-sighted. Like it really is. We're talking about, we want to get into college, right? We want to be better than this. So if we start talking college and what it takes to be successful, to be worthy of a college scholarship or to be able to play college basketball, if we're talking about that, then the trickle-down effect is you're going to learn how to win. You're going to be about the right things. You're going to understand skill development. You're going to understand basketball IQ. You're going to understand scouting and watching film. All those things are going to come into play. And I think we have to put that out there. We have to put that out there for the vision of this is where we're trying to get you. So that when kids are not getting where they need to, and you have to have those kind of moments of, hey, man, you're not being consistent with this, or you're getting into your feelings about this, because we actually have another day, standards over feelings.
Yeah.
Stop with the feelings all the time. Be a basketball player. But if we can stop you and say, hey, look, you said you wanted this. You said you wanted to get to this level. This is what it's going to take. And by the way, I might be the nicest guy you ever played for, because at the next level, it's hard, right? So we try to really try to help them understand what they're getting themselves into, because they don't know. It's not, they don't know. So what can we do to kind of help them understand. Mm-hmm. So use that carrot, use that. We are doing a lot of things. This is something we learned this year with a group that is not as much firepower as we've had over the last few years, not bigger, stronger, faster is what we've had in some ways, is that we're giving them some high level kind of actions, right? Mm. And you would think you need to keep it simple. And we're like, you know what? We're not going to teach you algebra one all day long and get and become perfect in algebra one. We're going to teach you calculus. And you're going to absorb some calculus. And so you might not have the foundation maybe all the time, but if we give you some of that, enough of that high level stuff, and we're trying to, you're going to absorb it. And they have, and to their credit, they are able to. And so sometimes I think as coaches, we get stuck in, we only want to give them the base stuff because, oh, I can't trust them. Or they're not smart enough, or they're not experienced enough yet. Maybe sometimes just throw everything at them and just like, see what they can handle. And then sometimes we're surprised. And that's been a little bit of what I've learned this past year.
Yeah. No, I love it, man. Great stuff.
And the one thing I want to make sure to reference out of everything, out of this whole time we've been talking, I love the fact that you even said everything is relevant for basketball, but also outside of basketball, people's day-to-day lives, their businesses, whatever it is, it's all relevant. And the number one thing, and I got this from the first 5 minutes we started this podcast, was you started crediting some of your assistants. You started crediting some of your high school, or your like people who have played for you and some previous players, people who come back, and at not one point have you really said anything about, I did this. So you could show like all the stuff that we have talked about, and you're over here throwing the credit around to everybody else, which just ultimately says it starts from the top and trickles down. And you can see you're obviously living proof of it. But it's great to hear, like, the culture starts from the top, and here we are, right?
None of us are successful in this world without others. None of us.
No doubt.
Yeah, this whole program has been built by my coaches, my players. I just happen to get to be in the driver's seat and get to make some of the decisions. There are times where some of the coaches are like, oh, coach, we got this. And I'm like, oh, you know what? Yeah, sometimes I have to get out of the way. And I do, but I really do think that it is so important for all of us as coaches not to squeeze and not to be so caught up in the wins and like we're putting pressure on everybody and we're demanding of everybody in a way that like they're feeling like back against the wall. We want to challenge our players for sure. One of the things that I believe in is like when you appeal to someone's competitive nature, no matter their age, like they're going to come out with some fire. When you just kind of bring someone down because you're challenging them in a way that this isn't good enough, you're going to make them feel like they're not good enough. And I think that's tricky. And how do you do that? And every day we live with it. Did that work with this one kid? Did it work with this team? Did I say the right thing? Did I bring him along the right way? And I think that's something that we're always working towards. My father told me when I was a young coach that you're only as good as your next game. So it's that keeps us hungry and humble. And
no doubt.
And that's what makes it fun. That's what makes this whole journey fun as a coach.
Yeah, no doubt. Mike Bray said this on the, he's a pod alumni of ours. And sometimes jump back in out here at San Diego. I try to really apply it every day. Be confidence givers.
Yeah.
And Mike Bray says that all the time. And he said that was something that Notre Dame, he tried to, and Mike as well, obviously DC guy. And
yep.
So just, but his, that was a big part of his approach is how can I, he's walking into the building and he's saying, how can I help this kid today? How can I give him confidence?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's saying things to them before it happens.
Yep.
Like when you believe in them more than they believe in themselves, sometimes that comes off like a negative, but it actually isn't, because if they feel that, that's part of what coaching is. We have to see the greatness in them first.
Yes.
Then we have to shorten that rope between them and the greatness. And how can we pull on that rope every day to make it a little bit closer, a little bit closer, a little bit closer, until hopefully eventually they match that very thing that we said we believe in them. But you got to partner with kids on that versus just say it and then go to the office and, hey, let me know how that works out.
You're right. No,
you got to partner with them on it. So that's where the magic happens. And that's when it's fun, man. Like when you're arm in arm with them like that, none of us have ever worked a day in our life.
That's a great way to say, I love how you said it too. It is a partnership. You have a partnership with that player.
Yes.
So, because I don't believe you hear about if things aren't working out, if a kid's frustrated, you're not giving him confidence. I'm like, well, that's not how it works. I believe in him. I need him to believe in himself. How do we want out? And
there
I think
we go.
That is the fun part. That partnership. Ben Hammond had a great start to his sophomore career. Great start. He's at Virginia Tech now. And he's a 5'10 guard. And everyone said he couldn't make it a high major. And he was just too small. And I just kept telling him, no, I believe in you. I just think this is what you are. I really always believed like that he'd get there. And he's had some great performances. And he just texted me the other day and he just said, Coach, thanks for believing in me when I didn't even believe in myself.
There you go.
Those are the moments, Coach, that you're just talking about as a coach.
Oh, man.
Oh, it made my day. And those things, players out there, if you can, reach out to your coaches sometime, like your old high school coaches, and let them know if they made a good impact on you. Because those are the moments that you're like, this is why we coach. This is what we do. And when you can see someone make it and find their way, it's so rewarding. But that's what we want. And it is, it's a partnership. It's a brilliant way to put it, in getting their confidence and getting them to believe in themselves and then to be able to form and just be able to smile at them and say, hey, I saw this. This doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, exactly.
I see it. Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Love it.
Coach Perillo, this has been amazing. So first off, thank you for taking the time during the season, but also just being able to give back to all of this. Sounds like you give back enough, but to be able to give back a little more just to everybody else out there to listen. This has been absolutely amazing. And like I said before we hopped on here too, me and Alan were literally talking about, we got to have an episode about building a culture. And then just perfectly, your name pops up and we're like, this is amazing. This couldn't be any better timing. So thank you for being able to be on here and share your stories. This is phenomenal.
No, thanks for having me. And of course, I don't have all the answers. None of us do, but it's fun to have this kind of community and have this conversation. It gets me energized for our game tonight. So I'll give you guys credit. If we pull this off tonight, I'm going to give you guys credit for some energy to do this. And then I do have to say, if you don't mind me sharing this real quick, because
please,
all this coaching, we need each other, right? And we need to support each other because this is a tough road every single night with what we're trying to get accomplished. And if you have people in your community, if you have people in your lives that you can actually kind of lean on and ask them, what are they seeing? Do you mind coming to a game? Do you mind watching some film on this and just giving me a scout? Give me some, not just, hey, surface level stuff. And then, for example, from myself and Coach, this is for Ryan Devlin. I have Coach Stu Vetter. He's a good friend of mine, and he comes through my practices and games, and he's willing to share with me some of the things that he sees. And you need to have someone that's willing to give you the honest truth, too, the good and the bad. And so anyway, I think that coaches, we need to rely on people. I'm fortunate to have someone like that, a Hall of Famer, that lives local, that's willing to come and spend time in our gym. But boy, is that, use every resource you can. You know, it's just, we can all use each other's help. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about our profession is how many coaches care about each other and how we have to have each other's backs. And we understand what we go through. Please do that. Every coach that's listening to this, find a way to help somebody else. And we can all be better coaches for it.
That's putting a ribbon on it, brother. We said it better ourselves.
Thank you again, Coach. We really do appreciate it. And to all of you out there listening, thank you all for tuning in. As that does it, as Maid said, it puts the ribbon on the bow for another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Alan Major, Doug Caputo, all you coaches, keep working and keep rising. We'll see you all soon. Take care. Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.